Tonight's reading is the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When Roger asked me a few weeks ago about preaching, he said to me, "You've got a free subject." That's very unusual, isn't it? To have a free subject. And I was thinking quite seriously what I should do then if that is the case. What is it that the Lord wants me to share with you this evening? And we've read a very familiar psalm, haven't we? Psalm 23. I probably could ask you, if you want to try and quote it, you probably all quote it, or most of you could. A couple of weeks ago, when Jonathan was preaching here in the morning, he was preaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he mentioned that's a portion of scripture that's read many, many times at weddings. Psalm 23 is at a different end of the spectrum, isn't it? It's usually read at funerals, I'm afraid. And it's very familiar, and it's something we read maybe at times to give us a bit of comfort. But often, because we read it so often, or we know it so well, that we often miss some of the things that are there. You know, some of the things that God would want us to understand and encourage our hearts with. And I hope this evening, as we look at Psalm 23, and I know it's familiar, that we find something maybe a bit new, a bit fresh, or remind our hearts of something which will encourage us. Now, preachers always have 3 points, don't they? So I've got 3 to share with you. And I hopefully those 3 are going to be like the P's. I like alliteration, but I like it. Other people don't, but I do, because it helps me remember what I want to try and share. But I hope the 3 P's I want to share with you tonight will really be a blessing to you. Because one of the things I found as I read through this psalm and kept rereading it was of how personal this psalm is. Did you notice how the psalm starts? The Lord is my shepherd. And I thought, first of all, of how each of us who is a Christian has a personal relationship with God. And that blows me away. To think that we've got a personal relationship with God. It's not just corporate. It's individual. It's individually we come to faith. And it's individually that we come to know God and come to appreciate God. And to know the Lord is my shepherd. I think it's very interesting the way David starts the psalm. The Lord. I don't know about you. Do you know people who name drop? Every now and again, you may know a certain people, or you've met certain people, and they name drop, don't they? Because there's a friend that they know, or there's an acquaintance maybe, or someone that they want to say they've met. David has the greatest name drop of all. When he starts off, the Lord. Because the word Lord is the word Yahweh. It's God's personal name. To go back into Exodus, and we talked about it actually this last week, haven't you? In Mission Rescue. And there's a story there of how God appeared to Moses and he said, "By my name I wasn't known, but I'm going to tell you my name. And my name is I Am." And that's the same word that David says at the beginning of this psalm. I am the Lord, Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd. Wow, that's a big name drop, isn't it? To say that he's got a personal relationship with God. And he has. I would say undoubtedly he would have got that as a shepherd boy out in maybe the fields. Looking at creation. This time of the year is a wonderful time of the year, isn't it? when you look at the flowers in the garden and so forth. I have to say I get hay fever, so I've got to be careful on occasions. But I love to look at the flowers and the various colours that are there and the various variety that there is. But even when you come to autumn and the change of colours or the spring and the new season started, even winter time, there's life that's there, isn't there? And God is the God of creation. But God's personal. I have no doubt that David had a personal encounter with God. Maybe during that time of out in the fields as in a shepherd boy. But he met God and he knew God. So we could say the Lord is my shepherd. Not a shepherd or the shepherd, but my shepherd. You know, God is often alluded to as a shepherd quite often in Scripture. If you turn across into John chapter 10, you've got that classic section where Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. And it's the Good Shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. If you turn across into Hebrews, you would find there that he is a great shepherd. If you turn across into 1 Peter, you would find he's a chief shepherd. All great titles, aren't they? But they all denote something about his character and his person. But how about saying, he's my shepherd? Personal. I want to tell you, he's my shepherd. 37 years ago, almost exactly, was when I came into the kingdom of God. And I realized that God loved me. And God sent his son to die for me upon a cross. And Jesus became my shepherd. Not something I read about in Psalm 23, but personal. To have a personal relationship with him. To know him in my life. Not just to know about him, but to know him. To know him in all his fullness. Going back to John chapter 10, Jesus said this, I have come that they might have life. The king has come, we sang earlier on. That they might have life in all its abundance. In all its fullness. And 37 years ago, I started that journey to understand what that life in all its fullness, in all that abundance means. Have you started that journey? You see, it's great that you're here tonight. It's great you come on a Sunday evening or a Sunday morning on other occasions. But I want to tell you, it's not enough. We need more. We need to have that personal relationship with God. You need to see him and know him in our lives. You know he's personally interested in you, and he's personally interested in me. I'm going to come a little bit later to that, though I know how much he is interested in us. But he really is. He cares that much about us. He sent his only son into the world. That we might have a relationship with him. I know it's a message that's said many times, but sometimes we need to hear the message time and time again before it sinks in. We need to understand that we've offended a God, the God of the universe, the God of creation, that each of us is a sinner. We don't use the word sin very often today, do we? Years ago, if you said that somebody lived in sin, for example, you would know exactly what was being said. Today, it means nothing. You can explain what it means. It means we've missed the mark. It means we've offended God. It means we've done things which are against God's order and against God's will and against God's desires. And that puts a gap between us and him. A gap that we try and fill in many different ways. Through our good deeds. Through maybe saying we're better than somebody else. Or maybe doing something very spectacular and thinking, well, God will say, oh, that's fine. I want to tell you, it's not enough. You and I cannot do anything to make ourselves right with God. But praise God, he's made it all possible for us to be right with him. And right above me is a cross. And that's where it all starts. For at the cross, Jesus died for you and for me. That instead of having a blockage between us and God, we might have a relationship. We might know him as my shepherd, my friend, my savior. We sang earlier on, my Jesus, my savior. We could really know that as a truth. as we come and acknowledge before God our utter need of him. This assessment of us is right, that we are sinners. We can't make ourselves right with God, but he's done it all possible. For Jesus died. He was buried, but praise God, he rose from the dead. And that's what makes the difference. That's how we know we can be made right with God, because our Jesus is alive. I think that's maybe one of the reasons why this psalm is read at funeral services. Because we know that death is not the end. And because Jesus is alive, we can be made alive too. And 37 years ago, it dawned on me. I'd gone to church over the years, I'd heard messages over the years, but it never really clicked. But it did 37 years ago. And it's still clicking in a way today. That was just the start. You go on. Has it clicked with you? Have you come to the cross, acknowledged your need of God, and trusted him for yourself? That you might have that personal walk with God, that personal relationship with God. But you know, that's not the end. The psalmist knew something a bit more than that. He not just knew the personal relationship he had with God, he knew God's providential care, the second P. He knew that God cared for him. What do we read? He makes me lie down in green pastures. I shall not want. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, and so forth. David used the word I, me, my, or mine 17 times. It's not very personal, as I told you. But he links it to he or to him all the time, or to you. He recognized he was what he was by the grace of God. And he knew that God's grace supplied all that he needs every moment of every day. We read stories, don't we, of David fighting Goliath, as was prayed actually earlier on in the back room. How did he win? He relied upon God and God's provision for him at exactly the right time, the strength that was needed, the exact implements that was needed to gain that victory. How did he defeat the bear and the lion and so forth as a shepherd boy? He relied upon God. How did he live his life day by day? He relied upon God. How do we know that? Because the scriptures tell us, particularly in the Psalms, he was one who opened his heart up to God. He praised, he worshipped, he thanked, he adored, but he also made his complaint before God. He was real before God. And as a result of that, God was real with him. God spoke to him, and God gave him what was necessary. Not what he wanted necessarily, but what he needed. And he gave it at exactly the right time. If he needed the time to be restful, then he walked by quiet waters. If there was a time where he needed strength, he would give him the strength. I shall not be in want. If he was going through the valley of the shadow of death even, he knew that his God would be with him. And this is the word I want to share a little bit for Carol and Gareth and Helen and Angus particularly. Because you're stepping out in faith, both of you as couples and families for that matter. And you don't know exactly what's before you fully. You may know a little bit about it, but not fully. But I want to assure you of this. God will provide what you need when you need it. Not before, and not afterwards. And it might be last minute. A bit like lastminute.com sometimes. But it comes. We can prove that, Margaret and myself, in our own lives. But I know of other believers over the years where that's been true. I'm going to call it the big God tent then, I can't say it quite like that. At the evening, we got rather wet during songs of praise a couple of weeks ago. Mark Thomas was sharing with us. I've known Mark for a long time. And I remember Mark, before he came into the ministry, being involved in a cafe in Bridgend called the Solid Rock Cafe. You can still go in. He was very keen to get it off the ground, and he and others were, if you like, a board of trustees, want of a better way of putting it. And they worked together. And they were about to open. But they had a bill to pay. And they couldn't pay the bill. They had no money. But unless they paid the bill, they couldn't open. But the catch-22 situation, isn't it? Don't give the money, can't open. Want to open, where am I going to get the money from? So they had a prayer time. The trustees, on a Friday evening. They prayed together that God would provide what they needed when they needed it. And they knew it was about to be immediate. because they wanted to open the following day. The following morning, the treasurer went down to her front door and the Royal Mail had been. There was an envelope there. And they opened up the envelope, and in there was a check for the Solid Rock Cafe. I haven't told you how much they needed. £800. The check was for £800. God provided what they needed when they needed it. And our God is faithful. And our God provides through his providential care what we need when we need it. Not just physically like that, but spiritually and emotionally as well. You see, I think sometimes we think of the physical things, but our God's bigger than that. Yes, he does provide physical things, but he also provides what we need on the spiritual level when we need it. When we're feeling down, what happens? He's the one who comes alongside. When we're feeling maybe a need of direction, who's the one who enlightens us? It's God. It's God through his word and through his people. You see, when we think about the providential care of God, often we think of it in miraculous terms, don't we? A miraculous healing or miraculous gift in that particular sense. But God uses his people, you know, to provide. We are part of a family. I said we're personal, having a personal relationship with God. But we're part of a family. We prayed it on that part of our family had gone to New Wine, and they have. They're away on holiday, having a time of refreshment. I hope, I'm sure they are, or they will do, during this coming week. But as family, we need to share, don't we? We set up a couple of years ago a fund here called the 434 Fund, based on Acts chapter 4, verse 34, where we read that all the believers had things in common, and none of the believers were in need because they shared what was needed at the time. That's why we set it up. So brothers and sisters who were not receiving the wherewithal in this world could be helped. But they could be also helped on a spiritual level as well, on an emotional level, as the goods were given. Pharaoh's pantry is another element of that. Home access is another element of that, what we have in this fellowship, in this church. But there are only one or two things. We have a danger sometimes to leave it to other people. But we're all part of the fellowship. We're all part of serving together. We're all part of worshiping together, of adoring Jesus together, of showing God's providential care to one another. What we've got, maybe we could share with someone else. In my daily reading this morning, Margaret and I read our daily bread from Radio Bible Class. And there was a story in there of a church in America who had what they were called Free for All Day. And what they did was they brought things that people in the community could use and share that maybe they didn't want themselves, maybe like slightly used, not badly used, but could be given to other people. They had a great day. At the end of the day, not only did they give thanks, we were able to share so much. They saw six people come to faith because they put their Christian witness into practice. Providential care of God is not just supernatural, you know. It's how we share together. But I'll tell you this, God does provide. He provided for David in every area of his life, whether it was through the thick days and through the thin days. He gave whatever was necessary, and he'll do the same for each one of us as we trust and as we walk in faith. And that leads me to my final thought. And my final thought is towards the end of our lives. We've had two funerals here recently, haven't we? Of Evelyn and of Earl. Sad occasions in some respects. But other occasions, not so much. I used to work for the NHS. And I worked for it for a long time. When the NHS came into being, it had a little motto. And Ivan Bevan said this: the NHS would care from the cradle to the grave. I'm so glad I've got a God who cares for me from the cradle to beyond the grave. For the grave is not the end. What do we read? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know where Evelyn is this evening. I know where Earl is this evening. that in the presence of God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's not pie in the sky by and by. That's not to say something as glib. It's reality. Because their faith was based on the promise of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. And there you will behold my glory. And there you will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and you're going to be like me. Wow. What a day that's going to be. And for every person who says, Jesus is my Savior, my comfort, my shelter, my shepherd, that's their goal. That's the upward look that we have in Christ Jesus. We know where we're going. We know what the end is. And as Tony Campolo says, we win. And that's the great thing, isn't it? You look at the world at the moment, and apparently things are negative towards Christianity. They are in the West, they're not in other parts of the world. It's growing rapidly. God's still on the throne. And he's still drawing men and women, young people, into his kingdom, as I saw myself in Mexico, another part of the world, a third world country in many respects. God's still working. And God is telling us this. Trust me, because one day you're going to be in my presence. And one day you're going to behold my glory. I've got to tell you, I don't think we have any understanding what that means. We have got a very minute understanding of what heaven is like, haven't we? But we're told when we get there, the half has not been told us. What's going to be the greatest thing of being in heaven? Seeing our lost loved ones? Maybe. Maybe seeing some of the heroes of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. Maybe. It'd be good to have a chat with Paul, wouldn't it? To say, what do you really mean by this in Romans? Or chat to Moses, what do you mean by all this in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all the rest of it? Maybe you could say those things. But the greatest thing of all is we'll see our Savior. We'll see Jesus. We'll see him as he is. That's our goal. That's where we're going. Is it where you're going? Do you know that's the end for you? Do you know that's where you're going to be when this life comes to an end? And I tell you, we don't know when it's going to happen. But it will happen. I told you before when I preached a while ago that it's one thing that we were told that Benjamin Franklin said many years ago, there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. They're there. It's certain. It's going to happen unless Jesus returns. Are we ready to meet him? Because as we were told last week, Paul wanted more. Don't we want more? Do we want more now? To know more of Jesus now? As well as knowing him more in the future. Do we understand more of what he wants to give us here and now? Of his Spirit? And of the things that change us and mold us more into his image? Don't we want that? Do we have a greater understanding of God's love for us? A greater desire then to worship and to serve and to adore him? And then to know that one day we're going to see him and hear those words, well done, you good, you faithful. You've obeyed me. You've reflected me. And I love you. And I want to honor you. Do you know, even when that happens, it's only because of God's grace. As we say, we cast our crowns before him. Because it's only through him we can do any of these things. I said it's a very personal psalm. And it's a psalm that we know very well. But is it something that's personal to me? Is it personal to you? I trust it is so. In a moment, I'm going to invite the band to come back. But I want to pray first. I also want to challenge you. Are you in that kingdom? You know the Lord is my shepherd. If not, come this evening. And if you do, do you want to know more of him? Do you want to know him in all his fullness? Do you want that joy that's unspeakable? Do you want to know that infilling of the Holy Spirit? And do you want to know his provision upon your heart, day by day? If you do, please indicate as we come to prayer in the one by raising your hand. I would ask you to do anything else. want all eyes closed, please, so that nobody knows what others are doing. But if you feel that's what God wants you to do, please put your hands up and we'll pray. Father, we praise you and thank you that David the psalmist could say he had a personal relationship with you. He could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me between green pastures and takes me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, even for his name's sake. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David could say he would fear no evil because God was with him. And we thank you he could complete that psalm by saying, by surely goodness and mercy shall follow him all the days of his life, and he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we pray that each one of us here will dwell in that house. That each one of us here will know that grace that you have upon our lives in its fullness. It will be those new creations, those new creatures, born again of the Spirit of God, and know the fullness of God in our hearts and our lives, day by day. Father, come, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Brood over each one of us and draw us close to yourself. That your power, your love, your mercy may be seen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's say the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.